and on the campus of this great university, there were glad days, joyous days that I spent here. I see them now probably as a real positive step in God's development of my life and zeroing in on the direction that my life was to go. I fell in love here too, much more with the Lord Jesus, but also with my wife Kathy. I think the first time I ever saw her, she was giving her testimony here, standing in a noonday service and telling about what Christ meant in her life and how she had trusted Him with her life and how He was leading her and giving directions. I thought it was the sweetest thing I'd ever seen or ever heard. I had a weakness for sweet girls. I don't suppose you guys have any problem with that. But when I heard her stand and give her testimony for the Lord, just something, the way she formed the words and something about the way she carried herself and her spirit and attitude and all of this was just a delight to me. And I was really struck by that. So I think maybe there's a lesson in that that says, at least to some people, being a social butterfly with all of this bubbly personality and being the popular gal and most beautiful and all of that on the campus does not necessarily mean that you're attracting men in the way that you hope to or intend to. I think it's kind of ironic that Badri and I should appear here at the same time. Actually, there were a number of things that we used to collaborate on. We used to share some of the noonday experiences here in leadership. If that's a strange word to you, that means we used to meet here at noon every day, pretty well filling that part, the partition, on back to that wall. And he used to sing, and then I would sing some. Actually, Jamal and I went to Norman High School before we came here. And now we both happen to be in Colorado. It's a very strange thing. As I look back upon it, Max, I was a very brave running back in those high school days because Badri was one of the guys that blocked for me. And you would look at him and probably say he was a little scat back and I was a tight end or a defensive or offensive tackle or something, but actually it was the other way around. I also was the punter and he was the place kicker. Can you imagine that? Well, she goes around the country telling lies about me all the time, about how I kick the ball straight up in the air and those kinds of things. But I love him and forgive him. In fact, I'm going to preach on that at church tonight at Bethel, if you'd like to come over and share in that confession. Tonight I want to just share with you a few thoughts about living with purpose. Now, I know all of you here are dedicated students, and your grade point average is upper point in your mind at all times. And you keep that as the preeminent motivation for everything that you do here. You told Mom and Dad you would, and so you're doing it. I want to talk about a young person who went to college from the Scriptures tonight. In Daniel's day, it was more like being drafted than it was choosing a school and going to college. But he did have a scholarship into the school of the Chaldeans and had all of his meals and room and board and books taken care of. But still in all of that, though he was conscripted to a certain extent against his will, Daniel was a young man that lived with purpose. I'd like to introduce that concept to you with verses from Psalms 112 tonight. And then we'll look into the first 9 verses of the first chapter of Daniel for a moment. I too have a responsibility following this, but I'm going to try to forget that. The pastor told me to. And if he's up there preaching when I walk in the service, nothing lost. A great preacher is Travis Wigington. Psalms 112, beginning with verse 4. See if you can see something about living with purpose in this passage of Scripture. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Purpose in the verb form means, according to the New American Standard Bible, that he made up his mind. Purpose as a verb means conviction. Actually, as we'll read in a moment in the first chapter of Daniel, the word is S-U-N, sum, or to set or place. And when a person purposes in his heart or lives with purpose, he has set in place some goals and aims and objectives for his life. If you'll turn to the book of Daniel, and let's look at those first 9 verses of the first chapter of Daniel. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel, of course, was a youth in the Judean kingdom of Jehoiakim. During Daniel's youth, Nebuchadnezzar besieged and brought Judah under his rule. And according to Scripture, he drafted the cream of the crop from among the young men of Judah to be trained for his own personal service. Now, training for the king's personal service included learning a new language. Sound familiar? New eating habits. Had to go on a diet. And even receiving a new name. It was to be a 3-year program, you understand. It's been stretched to 4 and more in our age and time. Daniel had already been involved in a training program that involved spiritual, mental, and physical development. The attributes that had been brought about, or that had brought about his selection, came through his own commitment to excellence and a personal relationship with God. Two factors that are very obvious in our lives. A commitment to excellence and a personal relationship with God. Now it's interesting that not much is said about Daniel's background until he is required to learn these new languages, eating habits, and make social adjustments. And may I draw a comparison here with you studying on this campus, away from the security of your home church, your friends, and an environment with which you're familiar. We're going to find out the specifics of your background and training with each day you live and study upon this campus and involve yourselves in the activities of the Baptist Student Union. And it was only as Daniel's previous training was challenged by the new Babylonian program that we learn about him. And we read for you a moment ago that passage in Psalms 112. Did you notice words like fixed in verse 7? Words like established in verse 8. Indicating that there already was a background in Daniel's life that made him attractive to King Nebuchadnezzar, and to choose him then for further schooling and personal service in the king's program. I think God has brought you here for a number of reasons. He's brought you here, first of all, to validate and maybe even test the background that you've come to Oklahoma University with. I also think that He is training you in specific areas that have not yet been presented to you for personal service in the King's program. King Jesus. God, Jehovah. Now I want you to look with me for a moment at what purposing in your heart determines. Every day that you live, your purpose in life is becoming clearer. Your goals in life are becoming more realistic, more attainable, more reachable. And God is saying with all of this, I want you to purpose in your heart. I want you to develop convictions. I want you to get in order or to set in place goals and ambitions consistent with my program for you. May I suggest to you that purposing in your heart or living with convictions on this campus, where every day your convictions are being shot at, every day your background is being tested or validated, that living with purpose in your heart or purposing in your heart before God is first of all going to determine your perspective about what you read and what you learn. I've often heard it mentioned, and I suppose this is really not fair. Max, I've heard it said, if you're going to preach or be a servant of God, don't go off to seminary where they're going to ruin you. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? Now, my contention and my remark to that is, if the army ruins you, you were vulnerable to start with, right? If you come to the campus of OU and you are less when you leave than when you came, you were vulnerable to start with. And if a theological program draws from us our personal faith and our walk and our objective to let God have our lives, then we were very vulnerable to this kind of thing before we started. I don't see any vulnerability in Daniel. Daniel went into this program with a perspective of God in everything that he did, everything he read, and everything he learned. That's attainable for us also. And the reason for that is, by their teen years, Hebrew children were already well along in their training through schools of the prophets. If you and I had been raised in a normal, committed Hebrew home, by the time we were in our teens, our folks had enrolled us in schools of the prophets where we were taught prophecy from God's Word, where we were taught to be encouraged in our walk with the Lord and in our obedience to His program for our lives. And so Daniel came on the scene here already with good, solid training in this area. Now, in so doing, Daniel's own gift of prophecy was ready to be exercised the moment he walked into the king's program. For you see, Daniel had the ability for dream interpretation. He had been schooled in this matter of God's endowments to his people. And so when it came an opportunity for him, he set into motion this gift that God had given him. And do you know that Daniel is one of our foremost prophets concerning last days or biblical times, which are mentioned and spoken of by Jesus himself in the New Testament? For instance, the falling away or apostasy of the church, the revealing of the man of sin or the son of perdition, the great tribulation time, and the return of the Lord. These are things that Daniel spoke about as a part of his prophecy. So Daniel, in beginning to learn a new language and a new diet and new surroundings, read and learned the great precepts of life while always keeping a perspective of God in his life. And young people, if you lose your faith while you're here at this school, don't blame it on the school. Blame it on allowing some of Satan's options to come in your path, and you chose those options against a perspective of God in what you were doing. Don't blame it on anything else except some bad choices on your part. Secondly, purposing in our heart determines not only our perspective about what we read and learn, but it also determines our perspective or how we treat our bodies. First, that involves what we eat. Maybe how much. Junk food junkies. That's a characteristic of our particular generation. And you are sold through advertising and television and so forth that the way to have quick energy is to send your pancreas into a spasm. That's the way to get quick energy. Just swamp it with sugar and other things. Did you know that in verse 5, the king appointed for them a daily ration of the king's choice meat and of the wine which he drank? Now, Daniel's Jewish upbringing had taught him the meats that were acceptable for his body and the nourishment that he received from these. I'll not read it because of time, But in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 through 8, you can read the training that David had, or Daniel had, about his diet. You can read that. Also, not only did it determine what we eat, but also what we drink. Again, Jewish priests and heads of family taught youth of the evils of drink. And you can read Leviticus 10, verses 8 through 11 for that instruction, and Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Daniel had been trained and brought to living with purpose in his heart, determining how he treated his body. It said in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. A lot of Christian young people on the campus scene are walking into things that are testing your purpose, testing your commitment, testing your conviction. I want to ask you, students, are there some things you just won't do? Have you decided in your heart that there's some things you just won't do? Or can someone come along and tell you that it's all relative? That it's a situation ethic that we live under now, and you have lived in a time where we've all experienced the disappearance of absolutes. There is nothing anymore absolutely right or absolutely wrong. Could you be sold that bill of goods? Are there some things which you absolutely won't do? I talked to a man the other night who at 2:30 in the morning got up out of bed having decided he was going to kill himself. I couldn't find any reason why that man would want to kill himself. I love him. He's one of the neatest people I've ever known. Just a delight to sit and talk to. He's pleasant. He's soft-spoken. But the other night, he got up at 2:30 in the morning going to kill himself. You know why he didn't? He didn't go through with it because he remembered his wife loved him. He didn't hesitate because he knew he had some Christian friends who loved him. He stopped this whole foolish scheme because he stopped for a moment and remembered. This is wrong. God loves me. And it's wrong for me to initiate something that is strictly in God's hands. So he didn't do it. Are there some things I just won't do? You know what the world thinks? Now you get this. The world thinks every man has his price. And there are people on this campus, while you're here, their number one aim and determination as instruments of the devil is to find out what your price is. To see what you'll pay to go through with some experiences that they're putting before you. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body. And students at the University of Oklahoma who are going to live for Jesus Christ better set that in concrete in your heart tonight. If you don't, you're going to discover rather than validating your background, you're going to learn some vulnerabilities that must be taken care of and committed to Christ. Then another thing that I will mention before completing this discourse. Not only does purposing in your heart determine a perspective about God and what you read and learn, and how you treat your bodies, but purposing in your heart determines how we react and adjust socially. How we react and adjust socially. See, instead of simply knuckling under to immoral and unhelpful demands of the king, Daniel convinced those around him that God's way was best. Isn't that neat? Now that takes a strong personal walk with the Lord for that to happen. You'll notice in verses 9 through 13, his proposal. Daniel had won over the prince of the eunuchs so that he could go to him with suggestions. You'll notice verse 14, the prince of the eunuchs consented. And you'll notice in verses 15 through 20 the results. Daniel came through this thing at a fairer countenance, stronger, and with a more positive result than the others who ate the king's meat and drank his wine. Actually, this happened often in Daniel's ministry. You'll notice with three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, then there was Belshazzar, there was Darius, and then there was a fourth, Cyrus. All of these men changed their minds about certain things because of the steadfastness of Daniel's faith. Maybe we could compare that with professors. Oh, don't think for a minute, Curtis, anybody's going to change their minds. Don't discount God's power. Don't discount the strength of a life personally committed and purposely lived for God. Look at the method. Verse 8. Daniel didn't just stand up and say, "I'm a Christian. I don't drink that stuff. I'm a Christian. I don't smoke, chew, run around girls that do, that sort of thing." What did he do? The moment the scripture says Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, the next verse says, this is how he did it. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, Daniel was not defiant to law and order. His life simply said, let me show you a better way. Let me show you God's way. And in purposing in his heart, God used Daniel to influence the reign and people and associates of four kings. Tremendous. Have you purposed in your heart? Have you decided that whatever comes before me as required reading or learning, Jesus is still Lord? Whatever comes before me that demands the sacrifice and compromise of the virtue and purity and strength of my life, Jesus is still Lord. Have you decided? And whatever social pressures are heaped on you, demanding compromise, Jesus is still Lord. I pray that that's true. It's my privilege to speak to a number of different youth groups, some of them professional athletes, some of them high school amateurs, athletes. but I don't believe that I have the privilege of standing before a group more significant in God's eyes than this group tonight. Because you have an opportunity, as no other group, folks, to validate the Christian training and background that you bring to this campus. You have that opportunity and privilege. God bless you and strengthen you and cause you to live with purpose in your heart for the Lord Jesus.